the AEIOU method. And so I asked him, what is that? And so he sent me some things. And so I'm going to use it tonight. And I might not be very long. And, of course, you know, that means absolutely nothing when I say that. But it could be that I'm not very long. I'm not feeling the greatest. I'm feeling a lot better than I was. Went home Sunday night, and I felt like I was feverish. And I asked my wife to take my temperature, and it was 102.5. So then all day Monday, I was nasty. And I had a pastor friend come and stay in his little RV out here by the garage. And I wanted to see him since he was here. Anybody else need one of these? Everybody got one? And so I went over, but I couldn't even stand up. I had to sit and just talk to him sitting in my car. It's just been – so I'm feeling a lot better. Dave Lindell came in earlier and said that he's puny also, and so I didn't know if anybody else was getting it. But hopefully it's going to pass. What I found today is I can go for about an hour, and then I got to take a five-minute nap. So if I drop over, I'm just taking my nap, and I'll be back up in 5 minutes. And pray for Miss Wilma that she'll keep her wedding vows. Because her wedding vows include not getting sick. She's not allowed to do that, especially if I'm sick. So, all right, well, let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we'll look there. And if you're on the page that says 23, we'll start on that page. And we'll just start there. The AEIOU Bible Study Method. And this comes from Tom Palmer. And it's just a neat way and a simple way. And I'm probably not even original with him, but maybe it is. But regardless, we're just going to look at it tonight. In the physical realm, there are two extremes that will keep the body from being properly nourished by what is eaten. Take, for example, a loaf of nutritious bread. Now, think about this example. It's a good one because the Bible is called our daily bread. Nibbling on crumbs leads to starvation. However, cramming half of the loaf in your mouth at once leads to suffocation. And there are people that have suffocated on bread. The key is taking one slice at a time and eating it one bite at a time. In this way, the bread can be thoroughly chewed, allowing the body to ingest all the nourishment that is provided. The study of the Bible is much the same. This Bible study method involves that one slice, one bite approach to the Scripture. It allows you to take one chapter, which is broken down into individual verses. Each thought in the verse is then broken down into individual words. This thorough approach to your study creates a setting for thorough intake of God's truth. And by the way, the Bible wasn't always broken into Bible verses. The Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. It was just written in book form. And so we're really blessed from several hundred years ago to have our Bible categorized or divided into chapters and verses. It makes it a lot easier to find Psalm 23, isn't it? When I say Psalm 23, you know exactly where I'm at. And it's just easier to read and study and everything. So then the use of the acrostic, A-E-I-O-U, and the old vowels that we all learn, it will guide you in this study. Each letter represents another step in the process. And as you're studying, go ahead and record your findings in your notebook. So this goes with a notebook that he had. Psalm 23 is full of meaning, so start with this chapter and do one verse each day. So we'll do that. We'll look at Psalm 23, and we'll just do verse 1 tonight. And we'll just give you an idea of what that is. Someone asked me about it after he was here, and I said, I think we'll just go through that and just look at it. And it's just a way to study. And honestly, when you do this with verse 1, you kind of understand how the rest of the chapter is. It pretty much describes the rest of the chapter because it's an easy one to do. Psalm 23, everybody know what Psalm 23 is about? What would you say the theme of Psalm 23 is? What's the human materialistic object lesson theme of Psalm 23? Shepherd and sheep. Now, so letter A, A-E-I-O-U, ask a question. A, ask a question. Ask some questions about the passage. When you're reading, ask questions about it. Consider things like, who is the author? Now, don't say God. We know that God is the author of the Word of God, but who is the human writer? And a lot of times we know who the human writer was. So who is the human author of Psalm 23? David. And what was David? He was a shepherd. So we understand that David is who is a shepherd, is also talking about shepherd and sheep. He understands it. So we consider who is the author, or what is the theme, or who was this written to? And obviously he's worshiping God, and then we all get to enjoy it now as one of the Psalms. You may need to refer to study notes in your Bible or a Bible commentary to answer these questions. And sometimes it's not nearly as easy as we're looking at tonight when it comes to that. But there's lots of neat things available now. There's even Bible programs available that I can tell you about or show you. There's Bible apps on phones. You got to be careful of them. And I'm always careful of anything digital. And I'll just tell you right now, even though there's Bible apps on phones, and even though the Bible app says King James, I found where the app didn't say the same thing that the King James said. It was spelled differently, or it was just worded differently. And I've even contacted them. Oh, well, they said. And so be careful. I like good old-fashioned hard paper, you know, reading from the actual book. But anyhow, it is handy sometimes to have apps. But then on computer, there's search engines. And on our website, our church website, we have a Bible search tab. And it takes you to something called Gateway Bible, and you can type in a word, and it will give you every verse in the entire King James Bible that word is in there. It's like a concordance. I think we have concordances, a concordance in our bookstore, and if we don't, we can get them. But they're only maybe $15, $20 for a Strong's concordance. The nice thing about Strong's is that it was built off of the King James Bible, because that was the English standard for over 300 years, and so when you look up in a Strong's Concordance, you're looking up words that are King James words. Now, remember, because it's King James that you want to use, you have to use the King James words. You can't just type in homosexual, because the King James won't have that word in there. But it will have sodomite or sodomy and things like that. And so you have to remember what you're using and what you're searching for. And it has to be exact if you're going to match it by spelling. Ask questions. And so David's the author, and he was a shepherd. And now we see Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So, E, emphasize key words. What would be some key words here? I think just about every word in this verse is a key word, but maybe not the. But what would you say is a key word? And don't be afraid to call it out. Dallas? Shepherd. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Obviously, we talked about that. The Lord is my shepherd, so that's going to be a key word. How about another word? Want? Sure. I think want is obviously a key word there. Okay, so we got shepherd, we got want. Anybody else see a key word there? My. My is one of the tiniest words in the whole verse, but it's a really important word. In fact, if you take out my, you don't really have anything. Because if the Lord is just a shepherd, you can't really say that you won't want. Salvation is what makes him my shepherd. So my is a great word. Very important word. Is important. Is a whole lot better than was, don't you think? I'm glad it says the Lord is, not the Lord was. Praise God for that. And so we look at all these, and then I shall not want. Now, of course, there's always the people that want to make fun of the King James. What in the world? Why in the world would you say that? I shall not want. You don't want him? And that just shows ignorance and the lack of thinking on their part. But emphasize the key words. In each verse, choose several key words. Write them down. Find and record in your notes a correct definition for each word. Strong's Concordance will help you find words. A Bible dictionary. I don't think Strong's has a great dictionary, but a Bible dictionary may be helpful in your search. Maybe an Oxford English Dictionary or a Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Now, Webster's 200 years later than the King James, but find a dictionary to help you understand words. I looked up the word want in Webster's and 1828, the original. And, you know, there's more than one definition. And we can find some interesting things about it. So let's go ask a question, emphasize keywords, and then in other words. That's where that dictionary comes in handy. In other words, or a thesaurus. What in the world's a thesaurus? It's not a dinosaur. What's a thesaurus? It's a book that gives you synonyms and antonyms. Okay, what's a synonym and an antonym? Synonym means same, but it's a different word, but it's the same thing. All right, so sometimes it's good to find what the synonym of a certain word is, because then you can say, okay, I can plug that in there, and it's almost the same thing, and that helps you to study as well. And then, of course, the dictionary. So in other words, there's nothing wrong in Bible study when putting it in other words. Hey, isn't that what preacher does all the time? In putting it in other words. You know, Nehemiah 8:8, it says they read the word of God and they gave the sense. You know, in other words, there's nothing wrong with teachers and preachers putting it in other words to help understand the original words. That's not the same as writing it in other words and calling it the Bible. That's different. All right. But in other words, you're just studying and you're just helping yourself and others understand what you're trying to say or what it's trying to say. So now take the definitions of keywords and in your own words, write down what you think the verse is saying. So for tonight, let's pick want. Want. Because want, according to Webster, could be a noun, but it can also be a verb. In this case, it's a verb. It's more in the verb's tense. I shall not want. I won't be in want. It'd be a noun, but I shall not want. So what does that mean? Well, according to Webster's 1828, the word can mean destitute. I shall not be destitute. It can mean deficient. I shall not be deficient. It can mean not to have. To want is not to have. I shall not have. Defective. I shall not be defective. Or I shall not fall short. The Lord is my shepherd. And I like to stop and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Put on my magnifying glasses. There's a semicolon after that. The Lord is my shepherd, semicolon, declarative statement. And because he is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he is my shepherd, I have all I need. Some of you are pretty good pet owners. Pretty spoiling pet owners. Your pet hasn't had a want in years. You know who you are. Try not to say names. Some of you have had amazing pets who come back to life from being run over by a car. Amazing pet owners. You haven't had your pet hasn't had a want in years. Why? Because you're an amazing shepherd for your pets. Your pets have got it made. I wish I could be your pet. No, just kidding. But anyhow, the Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd, I have all that I need. I don't have anything not taken care of. One thing about the Word of God, it constantly compares God's people to sheep. And the one thing we notice about sheep is they constantly need someone to take care of them. They are needy. Your pet doesn't need you as much as you think they do. They're just real good at fooling you into thinking that. But if you had a pet sheep, you would definitely need to take care of them as much as you take care of Fido at home. My dog's pretty good. My dog doesn't need me as much as she wants me to think she needs me. But I'm going to tell you right now, if my dog was a German sheep instead of a German shepherd, my dog would need me. Because sheep are just dependent. And they don't have the ability to fend for themselves and really know what to do about feeding themselves other than to eat what's in front of them. They don't have any way of really doing anything smart and efficient. And that's why God calls us sheep. Because that's what we are. And so when we see this want, he takes care of me. Now, question, is that provable in your life? Is he your shepherd? Can you say that God has taken care of you? In a little bit, I think before we leave tonight, we should pray over Joshua and Lexi like we did a few weeks ago. And here's what I hope and pray. I hope that They never graduate from being sheep into being German shepherds. We don't need God anymore. We got this. We can handle this. I hope that they're always going with a little bit of trembling, knowing that the Lord is our shepherd. We don't even know what to expect. We don't even know how this is going to work out. We don't know what's going to happen. But because he's our shepherd, I shall not want. He will supply our need. He'll take care of us. He'll meet the need. He'll fix it. He'll be there for us. You know, I mentioned earlier about having a nasty fever this week, and I'll just tell you, it's not fun, and it takes a while to get over and get your strength back. It's a great diet plan, though. But I have to say this, and I've already thanked the Lord more than once. Lord, thank you for giving it to me on the right week. You know how many days I've been gone in the month of July? I have been gone a lot this month. Maybe that's part of the reason, but I'm so thankful that I'm not feeling like this at camp, or when I was out of town a few days last week, or when I was out of town at the beginning of the month with John Mark, or all the different places we've been back and forth and here and there and everywhere. You know, God is good. Have you ever just stopped? I mean, it's hard to say I shall not want, and God is so good, when you are, you know, losing your lunch and feeling like you're going to pop because your gasket's about to blow because your thermostat's too high and you don't feel good at all. It's hard to feel like praising the Lord, but I'll be honest with you, I'm praising the Lord because, God, you saw fit that it happened at just the right time. I heard a rumor that somebody had a septic problem. That's what I heard, a rumor. I'm going to tell you what, a septic problem in July is not near as bad as one in December. I mean, honestly, God is good to us. God is good. We need to be thankful. There's lots of things we could say. Well, if you're so good, how come I don't have a Lamborghini? Good grief. We don't need a Lamborghini. At least I don't. And there's lots of things that we might not get that we want, but the truth is we don't need it. There's a whole lot of things that are just sugar. And the truth is, when we get serious about life, we realize we don't even need that stuff. Ask a question, emphasize keywords, and then in other words. And so Webster had destitute, deficient, not to have, defective, falling short. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have that problem. There's always it meets the need. It takes care of the issue. And if there's a problem, if I can't say that, if there is a problem, if I really am lacking, if there is a real obvious void in my life, probably that's the area where I wasn't following him as the shepherd. In other words, the shepherd could say, well, if you'd been following me on that trail, you wouldn't have this issue you're having now. How about that? Because doesn't the shepherd know the right trail and the right way to go and the right decision? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So in this Bible study, we ask a question. We emphasize key words. In other words, is the I. And then the O are the other references. And this is one of the best parts of it, is when you compare Scripture with Scripture. Either from memory or with the help of a concordance, choose several other passages that carry the same thought. The more you know your Bible, the more you can think of other passages. And maybe you can't remember where they are, but you can remember a phrase, or you know that word's in there. All right, so how about the word want? We look up the word want in the concordance, and we find more than just Psalm 23. We find other passages. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. This is when you start comparing Scripture with Scripture, which is a great thing to do. Psalm 34 and verse 9. In fact, if you notice, most sermons, that's exactly what's done. We compare other Scriptures with what the subject is. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Imagine you are a sheep, and imagine out around you out in the woods are young lions, and they're hungry. And you are a sheep that's next to the shepherd, and you're fat, and you're full, and you're sleeping. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. There's a great passage that matches Psalm 23. And that's what studying the Bible is. We're now comparing Scripture with Scripture, and we're matching other places. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11, it says, "For the Lord is good, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I shall not want." It's really all throughout the Bible. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. He'll take care of it. He'll meet the need. Matthew 6:33, we sing it in Sunday school, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I don't have everything that I could possibly want as a human being, but I know I have everything that I really need. I know I have everything that God wants me to have, and if I need it, he'd have me have it. God's taken care of me. I have no reason to complain or doubt the shepherd. Romans 8 is another place. Romans chapter 8 is another passage in verse 32. Romans 8, 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I shall not want." Look, if he spared not his own son for you, how shall he not take care of you in every other way? And how are you not valuable then to him? Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." God can supply and will supply our need. I shall not want because he supplies. And then Isaiah 40 and verse 11, back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." And that's what he does. There's an old video we have in the library called Super Sheep. Sounds weird, but it's all about Jesus being the shepherd and us being just dumb sheep. Just sheep that have no ability to do anything special on our own. But because we follow the shepherd, we become super in ways we could never be super on our own. And that's the point here. That's the theme of the Bible when it comes to shepherd and sheep. And here we have the shepherd David writing and saying, "God's my shepherd." And of course, Jesus in John chapter 10 said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So, A-E-I-O-U, ask a question. Emphasize key words. In other words, you can use other words besides want to help you understand or understand the definition of want. Other references, as we just looked at, to see other verses that basically back up and say the same thing that Psalm 23 says. And then use it. Use what you've been studying. Record a personal application from what you have learned. Pause in prayer to ask the Lord to help you live that which you have learned. I shall not want. If you're wanting something the shepherd doesn't want you to have, you're wanting the wrong thing. If you learn to trust him, we go back to Psalm 23, we realize that the verse 1 pretty much sets the tone for the rest of the chapter. Because you go back to Psalm 23 and you realize everything else kind of falls underneath verse 1. Because verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know what that tells me? It tells me that stupid sheep don't want to lie down in green pastures. They're so dumb, they want to wander off and get themselves into nasty pastures. "He leadeth me beside still waters. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want." I wonder how many of us have forfeited greener pastures because we wandered off instead of following him. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." Is there anyone besides me in here that can say he's restored my soul? "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He does it for his name's sake, for his testimony, so that he gets the glory as he's made something out of your life. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And everybody has or will soon walk through another valley of death. We've all been there, or we're going to be in the near future. But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Because even in death, I know where I'm going. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For thou art with me. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The young lions do hunger. They suffer hunger and they lack. But they that seek the Lord, they don't want any good thing. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He takes care of his sheep and anoints them with oil. And you're blessed more than you can hold. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. And so that's an easy one to study and to use as an example. But that's the A-E-I-O-U method of studying God's word, and just maybe mentally, subconsciously asking yourself those questions as you go through reading the passage, and learning to apply, learning to make application. You know, we all have these Bible reading calendars, and hopefully you're reading the Bible every day. But it's not just about reading the Bible every day. It's about making an application and applying it and learning something from it for yourself as well. On page 24, the other side, it gives a different concept here, topical study. When studying the Bible, it's essential that there be a reception and response to the truth that is learned. The greatest benefit will be realized only when you begin to live by the truth that you are learning. There are in each of our lives areas of weakness, failure, or sin that must be addressed. It's often beneficial to gain God's perspective of the matter by studying it in Scripture. A few examples may include things like anger, the tongue, worry, lust. There are also specific areas in our lives that must be revived or reinforced. Once again, it will profit you to learn what the Bible says about these. A few examples may include prayer, faith, finances, or the will of God. And so, with the help of a concordance or a Bible program on your computer, you can find where many of these subjects are dealt with. If you were to look up the word anger, you could get a listing of every verse in the Bible where this word is found. In your notebook, you can record the references, the thought from each verse, and then your own personal notes regarding what is said, and maybe best of all, memorizing it and meditating on the verses as a warning and a reminder. The box says the book of Proverbs contains a wealth of information of many topics. A simple word search will provide a good place to start when it comes to topical Bible study. And so the book of Proverbs has lots of good topics to choose from. And you can just use a concordance for Proverbs and find a lot of topics that would be of a human interest. So we looked at this tonight together. I'm going to go to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter 16. So, AEIU, let's practice this. Mark 16. And let's read verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So who is he said unto them? Ask a question. Who is it? Who's talking? Jesus. And if you have red letters, that helps you to know that too. Jesus is talking. So what is he saying? What are the key words here? What's an emphasized word? What would be an E, you know? He said to them, go. What's another one besides preach? Any other words besides go preach? All? Ye. Now, ye is different than thee. Thee is singular. Ye is plural. So he's telling all of them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, a lot of important words in that verse again, but certain words. And then in other words, what's it saying? Well, we can also know that in other references, Matthew chapter 28 says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's the same as going to all the world and preach the gospel. So we know that teach all nations is not teaching them embroidery or diesel mechanics. It's teach all nations the gospel. Teach them the gospel. Because the next thing it says in Matthew 28 is baptizing them. So we know that they're not going to get baptized until after they've learned and understood the gospel. And so go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And we can see the A-E-I-O references and method. And then the U is use it. So can you think of any possible way where you could practice Mark 16:15, where it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Hey, biker booth, how about that? We got a map. The whole world comes right to our town. We don't even have to spend any money on an airplane ticket. And the world comes to us. We can practice the verse just this week. And we can study the word. But what good is it to study it if we aren't going to use it? The Bible says study to show yourself a workman, approved, to be a workman, not ashamed. We need to recognize that Bible study is for the purpose of then using it. Several years ago, one of my kids was down at the booth, and a younger man was down there grilling them with questions. And you know what? I don't remember if they knew all the answers, but I know this. It was good for them to be grilled with questions. You know why? Because it causes you to go back and say, I'm going to study that more. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to know more. And it helps. Iron sharpens iron. It helps you to sharpen and to be ready for the next time. How are you going to ever be a soul winner until you get out there and try it? The best way to learn how to fish is just to get out there and start fishing. And Jesus said to all of us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can't make excuses and say, well, that wasn't talking to me. It's talking to all of us. And we're all to go. And we might not all go in the same way. We might not all go with the same exact results. But Jesus tells us to go. And besides, who knows what God might do and use us and how he might use us. You just don't know. So let's just obey God and do what he's given us to do. Not just study the word, but then do the word and not be hearers only. I'm going to stop there with that tonight. If you want an extra copy of that, there is a few more left over. And if you'd like more of these, you see this is page 23 and 24. Obviously, there's more pages. If you'd be interested in more of that, you're welcome to get that from us. But I'm going to take this time before we leave tonight and pray over Josh and Lexi. And so just as was done a few weeks ago, I'm going to ask Josh and Lexi to maybe come up to the front, sit a little ways apart from each other if you can, just so people can get to you. And then have all the ladies maybe gather around Lexi and guys gather around Josh and